In our second reading today, we hear from the beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And in this greeting of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Thessalonians, St. Paul recounts how he remembers them fondly in their prayers regarding their work of faith and labor of love and endurance and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. The three key words in that phrase are familiar to us: faith, hope, and love. Technically, we call these things the theological virtues. And as theological virtues, they perhaps reside at some place in our Catholic memory as a list of things that we should know, things that we may recognize, things we may be associated with some fondness or some positivity. But at times, maybe it may go the same way as holiness or discipleship. Words may throw around, but we may not fully understand or allow these realities to transform us. So today, I would simply like to offer a few words regarding these three virtues, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. First, I guess we should ask ourselves, what do we mean by virtue? A virtue is something that transforms our character. It can be related to something like a habit. In the Latins, they would call it a habitus, something that is a stable disposition that allows us to do something with ease. So, for instance, if you go to your dentist's office and the dental hygienist is haranguing you about flossing every day, we try to build a habit of flossing so that with ease, at the end of the day, we can floss our teeth. It doesn't have to become a chore, but something we do as second nature. Similarly, in the moral life or in the pursuit of human excellence, we seek out habits that allow us to do things with ease. You can think, for instance, the scenario of two teenagers in a coffee shop. And they both, at different occasions, they encounter a left-behind item, an iPad, let's say an iPad. And one teen is struggling with seeing this iPad and thinking, should I take it, should I not? And he struggles for a bit, and eventually he just leaves it there and leaves the coffee shop. Another teen may come in and sees the same iPad and immediately recognizes that belongs to someone, and I will turn this in to the owners of the shop. We would say that the second teen is more virtuous at least in the virtue of justice, because with ease he was able to do the right thing. So that is what virtues are. These things allow us to do what is good, what we deep down truly desire to do with our lives. But then within virtues, there are theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, and natural virtues. And this is important to keep in mind so that we could get right our relationship with God. Because we perhaps know many decent, good people who don't have a relationship with God. We say that they grow in natural virtue. The four cardinal natural virtues are justice, temperance, prudence, and fortitude. Commonsensical things that we could all strive for, and just by our human effort we could grow in. Those are natural virtues. However, the theological virtues, they are gifts from God. So in a certain sense, the reason why St. Paul rejoices in the fact that the Thessalonians are using their faith, hope, and love, because it's a sign that they are united with God. Because they've received these gifts that only come from Him, they evidently must have a lively relationship with God. And so for us, as we hope to grow in these virtues of faith, hope, and love, it demands that we are connected with Him. But what about these actual virtues? What do they do for us? How do they transform us? We can say that in these three virtues, God transforms us on all the unique levels of what makes us human. Technically, we call these things faculties, abilities of the human person, the human soul. For instance, human beings, we are unique in that we are able to know things. You have intellect and reason. We're able to use our minds to research and discern truth. This is a uniquely human thing. So, for instance, the scientific enterprise evidence of a uniquely human quality of being able to know and discover. The virtue of faith transforms and uplifts our faculty for knowing, our ability to know with certainty that there is a God, that God loves us, that even though our senses may tell us that bread and wine are just on the altar and we just receive these earthly things, faith allows us to know that that is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. With our choosing, human beings are able to have free will. We're able to choose to do this thing as opposed to that thing. We're able to choose to make this person in our life a friend and let this person remain a stranger. In our most intimate relationships, we're able to choose to love this person, to desire the greatest good for that person, even though if there's a sacrifice on our part. And that is where the theological virtue of love, or more specifically charity, comes into play. And lastly, we have hope, which transforms our human imagination, our ability to remember what was in the past, but also to look forward to the future and to consider the realm of possibilities before us. And as I mentioned, all these virtues are dependent upon our connection with God, with faith. We can only receive faith because God reveals himself to us. With charity, we can only grow in this virtue because God gave us his divine love in the first place. And with hope, we're able to have Christian hope because God has told us what is to come. Because of our relationship with him, we're able to imagine something that is beyond the breadth of mere human experience. Of all these virtues, we can, I think, rightly say that the world could use more of it. We could use more faith, belief in God. We could use more love, certainly, in relationships between peoples and races and nations, than with God himself. But also love. In some ways, I think we are surprisingly impoverished by our lack of hope. We are impoverished by our lack of hope. Because we can be so caught up in the immediate, in what is before us, in what has been given to us. Working with a veteran high school teacher last year when I was down in Walla Walla, she would often openly critique her students to their faces that they like to relish the fact that they're independent, that they're free thinkers. But she calls them out and saying that, well, you think you're free thinkers, but oftentimes your free thinking leads you to just follow the example of your fellow peers and just go with the crowd. That's not free thinking. That's just, you know, that's lack of creativity. And on the wider scope, on the scope of our lives, what do we imagine? What do we see? In conversation with a brother priest, he's lamented, and we both, you know, commiserated, sometimes the challenge of when it comes to calling people to discipleship, to a relationship with Jesus Christ, because they are lacking that underlying hope, that ability to see that God is calling them to something greater. This priest friend was sharing how he was talking to a teenager and he was asking him, what is your greatest hope in life? What do you want to do with your life? And he just wanted to be a, turn his hobby of photography into a profession. That's all he wanted to do. And then he thought he'd just be happy if he did that. And just, I don't hold anything against photographers or creatives and people who like to delve into the arts. I think that is beautiful. But if all you could think of, all you could hope for is turning a hobby into a career and maybe making a living, that's a very shallow life. There's nothing beyond. What about being in relationship with God, in having the fullness of life that comes from your Creator, of eternal life itself? And so this is where the virtue of hope really comes into play, allowing us to break through the barriers of what simply seems to be in front of us and to expand our horizons from our life into eternity. We are here at Mass, and the Mass, as the most powerful prayer of our church, as one of the most profound encounters we can regularly have with God, this liturgy allows us to grow in these virtues of faith, hope, and love. So as we continue forward, I'd like to point out three reflections that we can have as we continue on here, and how the Mass nourishes us, these virtues. First, the liturgy of the Word can be seen to nourish our faith. If our faith is about knowing God and receiving His revelation, in a particular way, receiving God's Word through Scriptures is a fundamental and primary means for us to grow in faith. Secondly, the liturgy of the Eucharist allows us to grow in the virtue of love, because the Eucharist is that central and most profound gift of love the world has seen, when Jesus, God in the flesh, sacrificed Himself out of love for us. When He said to His disciples at the Last Supper, "This is My body given for you. This is the chalice of My blood." And the next day He gave that literally on the cross. One of my favorite things to preach about at Catholic wedding mass is precisely this reality, especially for those Protestant guests who may be there for their Catholic friends rejoicing in their being married, and they may wonder, what's the point of these next half hour, 20 minutes of ceremony after the couple has exchanged their vows? Why can't we just go straight to the reception? We have the Eucharist because it is a sign of that love. When Jesus informs this newly married couple, "Do what I do. I said, this is My body. Do so to the same. I gave My life entirely to My disciples. Do the same to your spouse." Obviously, we're not celebrating a wedding today, but we can still follow that example of Jesus and be filled up in that virtue of love, of charity. And lastly, hope. Right before we enter into the Eucharistic prayer, we sing this song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." These words are seen on the lips of angels in at least two places in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah and the book of Revelation. Angels worshiping God in heaven. Our hope, our imagination, transformed by the virtue of hope, allows us to see that we are not alone here in this worship space, that we are not simply confined to this cruciform church in Spokane, Washington, but rather whenever we gather around for the Eucharist, we are in a certain sense entering into heaven, and heaven is coming down to us. That is the vision that Christian hope allows us to see, to know that our reality is not bounded here and now, but it opens off and into eternity. So brothers and sisters, as we continue with this liturgy, let us keep to mind these virtues of faith, hope, and love, and pray and beseech God, our Heavenly Father, to transform us and perfect us in these virtues.